Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always our delight to have you on board with us as once again we face the issues. Lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do because of getting so involved with what we want you to understand. That telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917, your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We'll be talking about today a very serious, somber, solemn issue, an issue that most do not want to talk about. I'm simply saying why I believe God is judging America. Why I believe that God is judging America. Most people do not want to talk about the subject of judgment. They say, most even lost people say, well, you know, the Bible says, judge not lest you should be judged. Yet multitudes of those same ones talk about the love of God and how much God loves us. He does. They'll talk about God's grace, and it's his grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, lest anyone should boast. It is the work of God. But ladies and gentlemen, my Bible says in Hebrews that those that he loves, he chastens betimes. That means many times. I remember growing up, and as I grew up, my mother would give instructions. If we didn't follow the instructions, there'd be a warning. Didn't follow the warning, there'd be, as they used to say in that era, a whooping. You'd get spanked as a result of not following the instructions. Yet somehow, some way, we've grown or devolved into the position in America of believing that God's not going to spank us, that God's not going to discipline us, that God's not going to judge us. I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that God is immutable. That word immutable means he's unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he judged Israel, if he spanked Israel, if he brought Israel into bondage over and over and over again for their sins, what will God do to America today? That's what we're going to be talking about. I pray that you'll stay tuned, that you'll join in the dialogue and discussion on that subject. If you have any questions related to that or biblical questions surrounding that issue, we'd love to hear from you today. That is 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so be based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further, he makes a declaratory statement. Thy word is truth. It's the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that we are to use as our guide point as to what we do. It should be the light unto our feet and the lamp unto our pathway. It should, according to Psalms 119, verse 105, it should be that which we utilize to guide, guard, and direct our footsteps each and every day. It's truth. But ladies and gentlemen, George Orwell made a statement in his dystopia novel entitled 1984, written and published sometimes in the late 40s. George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see today a famine of truth, a deficit of truth, a determined decision, and a declension that we've seen in our nation today to turn away from truth. It is the truth that we should adhere to, ladies and gentlemen. I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, that's so needed today. More than anything, I believe, in America today, that is the greatest need that we have. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for those who want to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda and Echo generators. Tools for Time carries the full line of the hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Their staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment, allowing all of the employees to be off on Sunday so that they can all go to church in the house of God with the people of God as God ordained it for His children. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make your application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does as far as placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today, as we called about, my radio partner.
Amen.
I am thankful for Pastor Davis. Pastor Davis hails from up in Folkestone, Georgia. He's here today. We're going to be talking about that subject, why I believe God is judging America. Pastor, I've got several things to say, but let me let you take the first statements in relationship to where we're going and what we're wanting to do and how we're going to get there. Do you believe that God's judging America? If so, why? And what do you see taking place?
Amen. Well, first, I want to say good morning to my bride of 37 years and happy birthday to my niece, amen, Rachel McCord. Amen on today. May God continue to bless you on your special day.
Rachel, happy birthday.
Amen. Amen. And all of you that are listening, all my family and friends, everyone, everywhere, we're hoping and praying that you will gather something from this broadcast that will help you along in your Christian walk and in your daily lives. Because truly what we got to come to realize, Dr. Youngblood, is that God is not pleased with the thing that he's seeing that's going on here.
That's right.
We are a nation, not were. We still are. Amen. A nation that was built upon the foundation of God's word. But what has happened? We have turned our backs on him.
Yes, yes, yes.
So certainly we are under his judgment. Mm-hmm. Now, what we have to realize that as the people of God, I'm talking about the blood-washed, born-again believers.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Judgment comes in the form of chastisement,
that's right,
as you said early on. But sometimes the judgment can get so severe until God has to shake some things up.
That's right.
In our lives, in order for us to depart from things that work iniquity, bringing forth works that are not pleasing to God and that are not edifying to the church.
You got it. Absolutely.
So we have to get away from that. So Haggai chapter 2, and I'm going to say this, and Dr. Youngblood's going into the discussion. Haggai chapter 2, and this is what the Lord gave me, verse number 7. This is what the Lord said to Israel, and I will shake all nations. Dr. Youngblood, that means north, south, east, and west.
You got it.
Even
all
right
is,
now,
all is all.
Amen. As we see, Russia is invading the Ukraine.
That's right.
War is going on. There's a shaking happening all over the globe.
Mm-hmm.
There's a global food shortage.
That's right.
There are many other things. There's a new pandemic out there now. They say the monkeypox.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know where this thing is going and what's going to happen next. We just came out of COVID-19.
That's right.
Now, amen, we are facing something else that we are unsure of what's going to happen. But God is shaking the nations.
Got it.
In order to get our attention. But this is what he said in Haggai. He said, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. God intends for his people to return to the former glory of glorifying him and living a life that will glorify his name.
That's right.
We have gotten so far away from that now. And I realize that because of COVID, a lot of churches are still not coming back together.
That's right.
But what we got to come to realize, Hebrews 10:25 say, forsake not to assemble yourselves together as the manner of some is. Mm-hmm. We as the people of God have a charge to keep and the God to glorify.
That's right.
So then he went down into verse number 17. And I'm going to say this. This will be the end of what I got to say. He said, I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands. Yet ye turn not to me, mm-hmm. saith the Lord. That shaking will become so severe, Dr. Youngblood, until sooner or later we'll come to our senses. If we keep on doing the thing that we're doing that's displeasing to God, he's going to shake us even a little bit more harder.
Right.
You know, sometimes when people get to talking, they say things without ever even thinking about what they say before mm-hmm. it comes out of their mouth. Mm-hmm. You have to grab them and shake them sometime.
That's right.
Grab it. What is this you're saying? Where are you going? What are you doing? Come to your senses. Well, this is what God is doing. He's shaking this whole nation, and he's shaking up his people because he wants us to get back in line with his word.
And he this has is to what do it's all what about is necessary today. To get our attention.
Amen.
I'm from the country background, and never will forget the old illustration of a man talking about going out in the field with his mule. And he was about to put the plow in the ground and start plowing. And he picked up a tree limb and hit the mule.
Amen.
And
Amen.
The other farmer says, what are you doing? He said, before I can plow, I've got to get his attention.
And, Amen.
And,
Amen.
And I believe God is going to do what is necessary to get our attention. But one of the things that is the key component, the key theological, doctrinal component to what we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that God is immutable. That word immutable, that's one of his attributes, his being immutable, means unchanging.
Amen.
The scripture
Amen.
Says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The scripture says in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not.
Amen.
And so with that being said, Pastor, if God is immutable, and he is, if he's unchangeable, and he is, that immutability means that if God judged Israel, if God judged other nations because of their turning their backs on God, because of their sin in God's face and not being repentant for it, if God did that then, what will God do today?
Amen.
I believe
Amen.
There are a lot of Christians that have become so soft theologically, so illiterate theologically speaking, that they do not understand the full truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, I realize, too, as I say that, I believe I could say to the scripture 200 lifetimes, not 200 years, 200 lifetimes and never scratch the surface on what God has for us.
Amen.
But one of the deficits in the pulpits today is for the pastors and the Christian leaders to preach and teach our people that God is unchangeable. And if he is unchangeable, if he judged sin, then he will judge sin now. He'll judge sin tomorrow. And God's word says that he is holy, harmless, and that he is undefiled, that he is separate from sinners, speaking of Jesus, and that he is holy. And he says, be ye holy as I am holy.
Amen.
I believe
Amen.
We have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for your radio program. I just encourage all believers to call into this radio program and voice your opinion, because we need to speak up and speak out. And the proverb says, righteousness exalts a nation.
Yes.
But sin is a reproach, a shame, a disgrace to any people. And
right.
we need to be righteous before God. How do we do that? By keeping his word, following his word, and speaking the truth to other people. My thing is that, doctor, that we've been infiltrated. We've been infiltrated. The church has been infiltrated. The church has been infiltrated with false doctrines, false pastors, TV shows where these people shouldn't even be on TV. They don't speak the word of truth. They don't preach against sin, righteousness, and holiness. And we've been infiltrated across the board, our schools, our government, our churches, every facet. The devil has infiltrated every area of our society. Roe versus Wade, the church should have went in a complete uproar against the court system for approving of that. And the problem is the church has been too silent, and we need to voice our opinion and have Christian activist groups to be ready to reprove and come against this evil that's infiltrating our society and our churches. And, you know, Dr. James D. Kennedy did a great work for the church, and that's called Evangelism Explosion. And everybody needs to get out there and witness. Yeshua said, I demand that you witness for me. Hand out a gospel tract. Tell people what God's done for you. we need to get out there, and everybody should be witnessing for the faith at this time. The Christian churches should be praying 24/7 because we're in a crisis situation. And this is what needs to be done. This is what we're called to do, to be a salt to the earth and a light to the world. And we have to do this. We have to step up. And if we lay down with our sword and don't pick up the sword, we're done. We're finished. Satan wins. But if we pick up the sword and fight, we're assured the victory. So we have to do these things. And the church is standing silent. The church is not doing what Yeshua called them to do.
You're exactly right, Kevin, and I am thankful for your input. You have hit the, as old cliche, the proverbial nail on the head. And one of the major problems, if I can elongate your statement, because God is immutable, God is unchangeable, God does judge sin, God is the God of love, and because he loves us, he's going to judge the sin. I'm looking at an article that points out where the bottom line difficulties are. Let me just read this, Kevin, while you're on the air. Let me just read this. In fact, the new research survey of Barna Report shows that only 37% of Christian pastors, 37% of Christian pastors hold a biblical worldview. Here's how those numbers break down. 41% of senior pastors have a biblical worldview. Only 28% of associate pastors have a biblical worldview. Only 13% of teaching pastors, 13% of teaching pastors, that's the ones in the pulpits, hold a biblical worldview. 12% of the children's ministry leaders and youth pastors have a biblical worldview. And listen to this, only 4% of the executive pastors hold a biblical worldview.
My.
So, Kevin, that is validating what you've just said. In fact, the scripture says judgment begins at the house of God. What does it mean, judgment? That is God's judging sin, calling sin, sin, and affirming what has taken place. And I believe, just as you've said, Kevin, you're on target. I believe if the church had we'd been willing to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, be visible, verbal, and we could have been victorious. But because we sat in silence so long, we buried our heads in the sand as an ostrich, as the old cliche goes, we're watching the judgment hand of God taking place. And we're going to be talking about that on the balance of this broadcast, of some of the evidences of God's judgment on our nation. So what we can do, Kevin, as you said, is keep on witnessing, keep on winning, reaching out for others, and telling the truth of the gospel while we yet have an opportunity to do so. Kevin, brother, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your comments, and I pray that people will hear what you've said and what we've said today and take it very seriously, because we are now watching the progressive judgment of God against a nation that said no to God.
Amen.
Kevin, thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at the headline of an article that says, asking the question, does God judge nations for their sin like he did in the Old Testament times? If so, listen to this question. How bad does a nation have to get before God will finally give up on it and bring down his judgment upon them? Now, I believe that's a good question, but it's a partial question. I believe it's a question, but it's not the right question. It's not how bad does a nation have to get before God judges it. It's not how bad a nation has to get before God puts it into exile or destroys it. It is the fact that God is going to judge, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because God is immutable, unchangeable. He says, "For I am God, and I change not." Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the immutability of God, and that's one of his main attributes. Because God is unchangeable, because God is immutable, we can trust him. Just as all of the promises he made to the nation of Israel, he fulfilled them. All of the promises that were found in the scripture made to the church, made to Christians today, we can believe it and trust it, because God is immutable, because God is unchangeable.
Amen.
So therefore, that's the reason, Pastor, we can trust what God's word says.
Amen.
It's because,
Amen.
Old cliche goes, he said it, that settles it, whether we understand it, believe it or not. It
Amen.
Is because God is immutable.
Amen.
And if God is immutable, and he is, God's going to judge sin. I'm looking at an article, the answer to that question in that particular writer. Yes, God still judges nations for their sin, just as he still judges individuals. And the Bible is very, very clear. One of the scriptures that this writer uses, Numbers 32:23, be sure your sins will find you out. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the sins of America are basically coming to the forefront and finding us out, if you will.
Amen.
As Pastor Davis mentioned just a moment ago, churches that received the orders from government rather than from God and closed the doors 2 years ago, multitudes of those have not reopened. Multitudes of those today are struggling to keep the doors open at all, simply because, I believe, because they were willing to trust government and not trust God. And as a result of that, we're seeing the escalation of the apostasy, the great delusion, and the turning away from the Word of God.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Pastor, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He is, we can count on God to fulfill all of His words. In fact, in James 1:17, it tells us that with God, there's no veritableness, neither shadow of turning.
Amen. Amen.
Like that. In fact, the study of the book of James is a fascinating, intriguing study, but it validates further. In fact, in that same verse, it talks about all good gifts are coming down from the God above.
Amen.
Because there's no veritableness, there's no shadow of turning in God. But just as we can trust Him to fulfill His promises based on good gifts to us, we can also trust what He says, that He's going to judge a nation that turns their back on God. Pastor, what do you believe that we see today as some of the evidences? What are we doing as a nation that are evidences that we've turned our backs on God?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, when we look at our belief system, mm-hmm. let me start right there. I think our belief system has been compromised. Well, and then another good way to put that, let's just say, we have softened our stance.
Yes.
Because we're not calling sin, sin anymore.
That's right. Very much like our caller just a moment ago said. Yeah.
Pretty much. That's exactly what's happening. Instead of saying or telling someone you are wrong, we are telling them that God understands, God knows, and these different things like that. And yes, He does. Mm-hmm. But we also got to realize that God is a God of judgment as well as a God of mercy.
Yes.
And when His word says, thou shalt not, that's exactly what it means. It meant that back in the day.
It still means it today.
Amen. Going back to what you said,
yes.
Jesus Christ is saying, yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right.
But now, I read in the book of Romans chapter 9, I believe that's verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great thing. But we still don't need to take Him lightly. Because He means exactly what He says. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, that same book of Hebrews, chapter 10, when you get down to the end of those verses, it says there, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God.
Angry God, yes.
We don't need to allow our compromise to cause us to fall over into the hands of an angry God who is now executing judgment because we won't change our minds. All He wants us to do through His judgment is to repent and turn back to Him.
Well, each time
He doesn't want to destroy us, but He wants us to repent and return back unto Him.
That's the whole purpose of His judgment. As you look at the nation of Israel, He would judge Israel, bring them into bondage. They would repent. They would turn back to Him. They would cry out for mercy, and God would deliver them. I'm looking at a writer that said this, the same is true of a nation that rejects God. When ancient Israel turned against God, the prophets warned that God's judgment will eventually come upon them, and it did. But God also, hear me, this is what I believe is the essence we need to see today. But God also warned that the surrounding nations would be judged too because they had not had regard for God as He had required of them. Sometimes, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, I believe this happens today. I believe God brings about catastrophe. I believe we had things like Hurricane Katrina. I believe we have hurricanes each and every year.
Amen.
In different parts of the nation and around the globe. And I believe it's God saying, listen up, look at me, I'm in control.
Amen.
Never will forget, Pastor, watching some of the catastrophic events that took place with Hurricane Katrina, where I had all of New Orleans and the whole surrounding area underwater to the housetops. And the news media, a number of them said, this is beyond our control. We don't know what to do. There's nothing that can be done. It's God saying, I'm in control. It's
Amen.
God saying,
Amen.
And by the way, it's not weather change. It's not a climate change problem. It's God's controlling it, but God is saying, I want to get your attention.
Amen.
It's a matter of God saying, turn from your wicked ways. It's a matter of God saying, change so that I don't have to judge you as a nation, that I believe is so vital for us to understand what God is doing and what God is saying in relationship to that. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please. Hello?
Thank you. Yes. Okay.
Lily, are you there?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I was thinking I would come on after the break. But thank God for what you're doing. God bless you and Pastor David. Your topics are always so relevant. And I think the Lord is using you at this time to be speaking out at a time like this. Your topic yesterday was terrific, to think of the schools and what the schools, the influence they have, and the children. Oh my God, to be trying to work now to program the children into a lifestyle that is anti-God, total rebellion against God. And that is what we are witnessing now. And the topic you're dealing with this morning with what is it? Okay, yes, I really believe along with you that God's judgment, because when a culture rebel against God, turn its back on God, we can look for the wrath of God, the next thing, judgment. And God is speaking. He's speaking today. When the fire out of nowhere come up in, like, say, California or some other place and burn down dozens of multi-billion houses in a couple seconds and things like that, God is speaking. The tornado, the hurricane, and all of the what is going on, God is speaking. But we have reached a place now where we find an answer. We explain away everything. No, we have to say the culture has gotten so gospel hardened, because I think the last time we make a move to repent and turn to God was 9/11. As Pastor right. David and yourself were just saying, that the thing that will move the hand of God anytime, as he showed us his dealing with Israel, when he punished them and they repent, he was always merciful to forgive and deliver them. And that's what would deliver America from where we are, you know, and Western culture. If we would repent, if we would turn back to God, but our churches that keep on with the blame, the pastors, the churches, well, and we know the gates of hell shall not prevail. So God, the believers, God, churches, we need to be praying that this repentance, that the hearts will be softened, because Amen. As wicked as Nineveh was, when a man out of nowhere, Jonah, turn up and say, in 3 days' time, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. Turn and repent and go down in sackcloth and cried out to God for mercy, and he had mercy on them and held back his hand of wrath. And this is where we are today. We are really facing, when we turn, what we're doing to children, that means we're really going beyond Sodom and Gomorrah, and we Amen. Know that is the wrath of God we're looking for. Thank you very much, Dr.
Lily. Thank you so Amen. Much. You're exactly right. You're on target with it. And just as you used in Nineveh, where Jonah preached, repent, repent, and he went 3 days' journey through the city, they repented, and God delivered them as a result of it. You're right, Lily. Thank you so much for your call. There needs to be repentance today, ladies and gentlemen, in our nation. I believe we're watching the progressive hand of God coming upon a nation that said no to God. We're going to continue our thoughts on this, looking at the what the scripture says in relationship to how God has judged other nations and how God is going to judge America if we do not repent and turn back to God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 1 minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood
from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.